I never like to hold on to a microphone. I like to be free. I feel like I'm chained. But it's great. I think 2000, like I was saying, 2017 is going to be a great year for us. I was counting up, and not everybody's here this morning, but as I was counting, we have like something like 11 nationalities now. That's good, isn't it? Yeah, that's good. And it's really good, diverse. And one of the things that people say to us when they come here, they say, man, this church is really diverse. I said, that's the way it is going to be in heaven. Yeah, exactly the way it's going to be. It's good to see Brother Baz this morning. Good to see you, bro. Good to see you. We spent some time with them yesterday. And let me tell you, Miss Winsome can throw down in the kitchen. I mean, some serious food. My favorite, curry goat. Fried chicken. Well, I'm not going to say any more because I think you'd get upset if I said any more. Yeah. But if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to Exodus chapter 31. Read a couple of verses there, and then we're going to read a few verses in Exodus chapter 36. Exodus chapter 31. Oh, we welcome Sister June. This dear sister has come in a couple Sundays now. Sister June, right here at the back. We've been, yeah. God has given us the opportunity to help as a church to help her. And you know, she said to me on the way coming to church this morning. She says when she's really back on her feet, she's going to be coming to church on her own steam. She's going to get here for herself. Isn't that good? And you know what her greatest desire is? That after God does what he has to do with her, she wants to help God do stuff for other people. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Exodus chapter 31, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, and the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to design and artistic works, to work in gold and in silver and in bronze, in cutting jewels, for the setting and the carving of wood, to work in the manner of workmanship. And indeed, I have appointed him with Aholiab, the son of Abishmak, of the tribe of Dan. And I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they make all that I have commanded you, the tabernacle of the meeting of the ark of the testimony and the mercy seat and all that's in it and all the furniture of the tabernacle. And I want you to look at chapter 36. And it says, verse 1, and Bezalel and Aholiab, boy, them some tough names, aren't they? And every gifted artisan in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred to come and to do the work. And they received from Moses all the offering of which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. So they continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. And they, all of this was so they would, in verse 3, for the work, for the service of making the sanctuary, of making the sanctuary. And there's a reason why we know in the Old Testament why the tabernacle was made. It was so that God, through the tabernacle, could show his glory to mankind. So I want to pray, and I'm going to talk to you this morning about preparing for the glory, getting ready for the glory. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name that you would help me to declare your goodness and your mercy. I pray that God, you would help me to declare the thing that you have preordained before time, Father, with clarity this morning, that I would encourage your children and enable us to go forward and to do the thing you have called us to do in 2017. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jake, could you put up my a picture? I'm going to have the next one. The one after that. Yes. Yeah, we leave that there. And we'll go back to that. Remember, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the tabernacle. And in this year, in 2017, we're going to do an in-depth study about the tabernacle. And we're going to go through that, and we're going to talk about it on a weekly basis. And we're going to get ready to share. But I believe in 2017 is going to be a phenomenal year for us. And I believe it's going to be a year of restoration, kind of God restoring some things to us that we may have lost. But when you think about restoration, we often think restoration is something being brought to us that's new, that never was. But that's not what the real understanding of restoration is. If restoration really makes something more valuable than something that was new. If you think about a 67 Chevrolet, you get a 67 Chevrolet, back when it was originally made, it was worth about $2,000. But if you restore it now, it would probably be worth $40,000, $50,000. And so restoration in itself is far more beneficial to have something that once was to be restored back to the original intent than having something brand new. If you get a house and you restore a house and you begin to remove the old wallpaper and begin to remove all the excessive decor that was applied to the house, and you begin to get right down to the original intent of the architect and see what his vision was, you begin to understand what the real intention was for the building. And I believe God's going to get us back down to the original intent of his plan that he always had from the dawn of time for the people of God. I think he's bringing us back to shaking off all of the stuff that is unnecessary, all of the fanfare that we have plastered over ourselves that really doesn't aid in the revealing of his kingdom to the community. And he's going to get us back to what his real intent was. And I believe that the psalmist had it right. He says, I pray that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover the whole earth as the waters cover the sea. And God wants his glory to be revealed in a way that it hasn't been revealed before. But before that could happen, he has to get rid of the old stuff that we've plastered over his original intent. It has to go. And so he's going to get us there. We believe with his grace and by his mercy, he's going to get us to that point. You know, he's going to get us back to his original intent. Now, if I could take you back 30 years ago, and I know I always use this and I always talk about this, but this is my frame of reference during this time of my life. Because God is restoring my body. I remember 30 years ago, back when I was really in shape, and I used to walk around buff. You know, y'all know y'all can see that now, right? Come on, Mylon, I'm getting there, right, bro? I'm getting there. Thanks, bro. These people right here, Dave and Sue, they remember when I used to be buff. These guys remember. They know back in the day when I was young and I was fit and athletic. But then there was all of this excessive stuff that was piled on top of me. But recently, God has been taking me back by this young man, and he's Greg over there, and he's been taking me through some series of exercises and a series of things that have been stripping back the unnecessary stuff that has been poured upon my physicality. And I'm being sharpened. And I believe God wants to sharpen us. He wants to erase. He wants to pull back and take us back to his original intent for our lives, his original intent for the church. And if we go back and look through Scripture, even in the New Testament, when you think about it, on the day of Pentecost, before the day of Pentecost came, he says, I want you to go and I want you to tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He told them that. And you got to believe that as they went into that place of seclusion, that he began to bring people into that situation. Those first 120 people were people he had gathered with an intent. They were going to be the groundbreakers and the reestablishing of something that he had intended from the dawn of time. These 120 people, this small group of people, God was going to use them to strip back all of the unnecessary decor and bring to the forefront his main intent and purpose. Mm-hmm. It's good. You know, we think of the day of Pentecost as just the day he fell down and the Holy Ghost came and they spoke with other tongues. But if you think about it, it was powerful. Yes, indeed. But if you think about it, the Holy Spirit equipped them to do something they were never able to do before. He equipped them with the ability to go beyond human ability into a supernatural realm and speak to people in languages they have never been able to speak with before. Now, some of us are sitting here and you're wondering, what is God going to do with me in 2017? I'm telling you, he's going to equip us to do stuff that we have never been able to do before. And we're going to be able to speak to people, speak to circumstances, speak to situations, and see something change because God put something in us that we never had before. He's going to do that. Yeah, he's going to do that. Don't you long for the time to see God move in your life in a way that you couldn't see in the New Testament? The Apostle Paul put it this way: the men come to you with wise words of men's wisdom, but I want you to do something and be something else. I want you to speak with power, and I want you to be of one who is able to demonstrate the power of the Holy Ghost. And in these last days, beloved, I'm through with normal church. I'm through with just having church as usual. I want to see God demonstrate something with power. I'm done with all of that. I want to see people healed. I want to see people set free. I want to see people experience the glory of the Lord. And that's what he wants to do. It's time to, you know, because we can all do good stuff. We can help the community. We can provide practical things for the community. We can feed people. We can do all of those things. And that's great. But there's more. Did you hear me? I said, that is great, but there is more. Because any organization can give a food, start a food bank. Any organization can do this and can do that. But there's only one organization that I can know that can reveal the glory of the Lord on the earth and see his power move through the community. There's only one organization I know that's able to do. That's the church. And that's what he wants to do. Stay with me. How many of y'all ate good over the Christmas holiday? Yeah. Brother Mylon, I ate, bro. I ate some food. Miss Lisa burned some real good food. No, it was good. No, thank you. Everybody knows that's the expression. And so, well, for the British people, yes, you might misunderstand that phrase. When I said she burned some food, I mean she cooked real good. But it was good food. And so I ate. I remember, you know how you get ready to eat? You think you got yourself ready, and you like, yeah, I'm going to eat. I'm going to do some serious damage to this food. Man, all the food, the smells was so, in the house was so full the whole morning. When I finally sat down to eat, I could only eat a little bit of food. I was so upset. Because I had prepared to really throw down, as they say. But I believe God is going to strip us back and reveal that original attention. But now for months now, I've been in a real quandary because I've been thinking, God, you've been doing some phenomenal things in 2016. We have seen, how many of you agree, in 2016 in this little church on the back street, God has done some phenomenal stuff. And so I'm just so excited at what he's done, but I'm so excited at what he's going to do. And I've been asking, I'm saying, God, what is happening? What are you trying to do? And I know that every time God is doing something, I always look into scripture to find the pattern, to find what it is that he is trying to do. I'm trying to find out what pattern does this fit. Yeah? And so, because everything he does from a pattern, a predetermined thing that he had in his mind that he would do. In Antioch, they were detailed. Remember, after he poured out his spirit upon everybody and everybody was filled with the Holy Spirit and they did what they did, they started to move and do the thing that God asked them to do. In Antioch, they were called Christians first there. And the reason why they were called Christians is because they had a detailed pattern of what they did and how they lived that resembled Jesus. So they called them Christians because they were very detailed in their action, in their conversation, and in what they did. It resembled Jesus, so much so that they had to be called Christians. Now, Jaden is so much like his dad, it's not hard to see who he belongs to. Not hard. Even his actions, some of his personal motions and motivation, they look just like your dad. I'm sorry, Jay, you do. You look like your dad. Okay. He said he don't mind. I'm glad you don't mind. I really am glad. There's detail. There's certain detail that fit, details that fit and represent, and they tell you something about something. Like, for instance, you look at our daughters, Alicia and Natasha. You look at them, you see a combination of Lisa and myself, but they tell you they belong to us. Just by looking. Okay? Now, I believe that what they did in Antioch and what they were representing in Antioch was the intent that God wanted them to reflect. Listen, they were called Christians because they, not only just because they looked like him, but something about Jesus, the glory of God, was upon them also. And the glory that was on them was evident. It was real. Nobody had to guess about anything. This wasn't guesswork. It was real. You know, because today we talk about the move of the Holy Ghost or God doing things through our life, and it's almost like guesswork. You go to conferences, and guys will stand up in the pulpit, and they'll say things, I think there's somebody with a headache. And there's this guesswork that's going, and I feel there's somebody here. No, no, no. The Holy Spirit, God is very definite and he is very distinct. He is very detailed about what he wants and what he's going to do and how he's going to do it. There's no guesswork in it. And if God wants to speak to somebody, he will come to that person and says, I am talking to you. And sometimes, have you ever been in a place when a preacher's preaching and they're not, maybe not addressing you personally, but it seems like God is speaking to you? And God wants to get us to a place where he strips back all of this unnecessary stuff so that he could speak. I believe it. I believe that 100 years prior to all of those events in the New Testament, right here in Exodus, we have the pattern. We have the pattern of what God wanted to reveal on the earth. And God is bringing us back to this because what he wants to do is reveal his glory then. He doesn't want to reveal church. He doesn't want to reveal activity. He wants to reveal his glory. He wants people to see who he really is. Not what we say he is, but who he really is. And he's going to get us to the place where we're not just doing church, but we're seeing his glory fill our meetings every day. You know, I'm looking forward to the day that when we come to ALC, when God does something, he moves with power, that we leave this place with such an equipment. Such an ability that doesn't fade away. And we talk to people, and they no longer are just saying, oh, they're nice Christians. But no, they say, these people have been with God. There's something different about them. They're real. I just don't want to, you know, the Christian knees and, hello, brother. How are you today, brother? I believe God wants you to know he loves you. Very much. And you go away from that experience, and it's like nothing. It didn't mean anything. And it's sincere, and it's nice, and that's good. But wouldn't it be great if somebody came to you and said, hello, brother, and you heard the voice of God as this person was speaking to you? That's what we want, yeah? That's what we want. So here we are in Exodus. And I'm not going to be very long. I'm going to be done in just a few minutes because I think I have. Ah, Jesus. You know, I look into a world, and every one of us, we're living in a world where there's nothing but need. People have need of this. They have need of, and it's all valid. And it's our responsibility as a church to do our best to meet needs. Yes?
But wouldn't it be glorious? Wouldn't it be great if I didn't necessarily have to do anything, but the glory of the Lord was so powerful that everybody's need is met simultaneously. You know, I love that story and that picture when they came and the multitude was sitting on the mountainside and they were all hungry. And Jesus says to the disciples say, well, you need to tell them to go away so they can get something to eat. Isn't that how we are? Tell them to go away so they can go get something to eat. And Jesus said to them, you feed them. You feed them. And they took what they had and they brought it to Jesus and he broke it. Can I tell you something before I move on? Before we're going to multiply or be fruitful, we've got to be broken first. And the Bible says he broke it. And he fed to them. And there was over 5,000 people and everybody was fed. And then there was leftovers. I want to get to that point in my life. I'm tired of just thinking about Vince. I want the glory of God to be manifested. So whatever I give, I have more than enough to keep giving. I'm not trying to find solutions. I have the solution. Oh. You know, can I speak to you another level here? Not just practical, not just food, not just money. But sometimes people come to us and they're spiritually deprived. And they need something. And I want to have what they need. I don't want to go looking for it. I want to have it. And so when we give it to them, their change is immediate. It's not something that we're trying to make happen. It's immediate. 2017 is coming for us. It's coming for us, 2017. So here we go. In Exodus, now the tabernacle was God's intent for his presence or for him to be, so there can be a, let me see, how would I put it? So people can see a tangible, visible representation of his presence. The tabernacle was there. Am I right, Brother Ray? See, Brother Ray's our theologian. Many of y'all don't know, but he teaches theology at Cambridge. So here we are, and he brings the tabernacle is there. He puts it, and he sets it, and they all build it up. And it's a representation of his glory. So people can look at the tabernacle, and they can say, that's God. They don't have to question, is it God? They can look at it, the tabernacle, and they know it's God. And yet the Bible says there's no more tabernacle, but there is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And he dwells in you and me. And what God's is the same intended purpose as they saw then, God wants to show now. He wants people to look at you, look at me, and not question, but to know there's God. It's in this person. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say to you? He's trying to... Okay, stay with me. We're going to have some good vittles in a minute. Tangible, visible presence of God amongst his people. He wants people to know that he was there. The only purpose of the tabernacle was to give God a place to dwell amongst his people on the earth. And it was glorious. We're going to go in detail later on this year. But we've got to get this in our head. This tabernacle is here for them to see God. You are here. We are here for people to see God. But not just us doing practical things. Not just us We want, listen, don't get me wrong. Everybody, all of you know, my greatest desire is to meet people's need in the community. Greatest desire. One of the reasons why I got Brother Rich here is to work specifically with the community. That's our greatest desire. But let me tell you something. There's got to be more than us doing the practical thing. There's got to be a demonstration of power. God wants to move. Listen, saints, can I tell you that? God wants to move in power. So he gets this tabernacle. And when you think about it, they're right there in the center. There's all the tents of the children of Israel around central. And, you know, the central place in the whole encampment was the tabernacle, the central place. So if we're going to see that, God's got to become central. And if God's going to be central, it means he's had to be the most important thing. Daily activities have got to come second to him. What we do normally during throughout the course of the week, sometimes it has to be him who gets the most of the focus. You know, the Bible says in the Old Testament that they called a solemn assembly. And they said, set aside. I want you to come. Listen, nobody's trying to make anybody feel heavy or bad. I'm trying to get us to see the glory of the Lord is ready to be revealed in our community. He has moved us to this place in 2016. 2017 is the year of his revealing of his glory in our community. And I want to be ready for it because he's going to do it regardless if I get ready or not. He's still going to do it. It's not up to me or what I do and how I do it, but I want to be ready for when he does it. 38 years ago, Lisa and I, we got married. I can imagine, you know, I made a mistake and I went into a room that I wasn't supposed to go into. They're getting her ready. You know, they tell you, I don't believe in all that bad luck stuff because I don't believe in that luck stuff. I believe in grace and the goodness of God. We're not under luck. Luck has nothing to do with God. Luck happens to you by chance, and I don't believe the children are under chance. So I walked into a room, and I saw her. And I thought, yeah. God just gave me a little taste. He gave me a little taste of what was coming my way. And listen, God, 2016 was just a taste of what's coming our way. And so, I believe that God is bringing us to a place where he really wants to be seen. He wants to have his power demonstration. He's right. See, he's in the middle of the camp. So God wants to be God right in the middle of our circumstances, too. If he's not God in the middle of our circumstances, if we can't trust him and allow him to be God in the middle of our circumstances, how can he really be God at all? Because if he's not God there, he can't be God anywhere else. He's right there in the middle. But, oh, thank you, Jay. You see the glory cloud or the fire going up. The Bible says when they completed, Jay, you're so intuitive. You're so. Here we go. And here's the glory. The Bible says in it that when they completed everything and when they did and performed all the ceremony, they put the blood on the mercy seat. Then God came down. That's God coming down out of heaven. And he consumed the sacrifice and everything's right there, right? But it's visible. It's not hidden. And you don't have to guess what's happening. You can see it clearly. Clearly, can't you? And that's the way it was. It was so clear that in the Old Testament times, the Bible says that there was a cloud, a pillar of cloud that led them by day, and a pillar of fire that led them by night.
So it was clearly his presence was with them in a way that was clear. Huh? You say that's Old Testament. Yeah? That's cool. I can go with you on that. But my Bible says that when the apostles walked down the streets, their shadows. Yeah. Their shadows touched people and people were healed. His glory. They didn't have to question anything because his glory was with them. Yeah. See, he wants the same thing to happen now. And you know why I know that? Go and ask me why. I'm going to show you why. I want you to go to the book of Acts. Yeah, this is why I know we got to get ready. And this is why I know he wants to do something in 2017. It says in verse 31, this is what the apostle Paul, Paul dwelt to Acts, the end of Acts, the last chapter. Sorry, please forgive me. I wasn't clear, was I? I just said turn to the book of Acts. I meant turn to the book of Acts, the last chapter, the last verse, the last two verses anyway. Yeah? Are we there? Okay. It says in verse 30, then Paul dwelt two whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. And that's it, right? That's it, right? That's all it says, right? It doesn't say anything else after that, right? You go to all the rest of the epistles in the New Testament, and you'll find this. Let's just say, for sakes, we go to the end of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and verse 24, and it says, my love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Right? So everywhere else in the book of the New Testament, in the epistles, it says amen at the end of the verses, except Acts. Because he's not done writing Acts. You are supposed to be the continuation of revealing of his glory in the earth. The amen is not going to be written at the end of Acts until we get to glory. So everything that you see them doing, he wants us to do. Because it becomes clear to the people that God is who he says he is. You know, I would have questions if I hear God people talking all the time and saying God is powerful, he's able to do this, but yet I never see him do it. Can I encourage you today that God wants to do it? And he's going to do it in 2017. We saw glimpses and we saw great stuff to do in 2016, but he's got more in 2017. There was a sister Claire is not here this morning. There was a lady in need, lost babies. Claire prayed for the lady to have a baby. They were at a restaurant a couple days ago with the lady holding her new baby. Let me tell you something. God is able to do phenomenal things and he wants to do it. Well, we got to be ready and got to be real. God wants us to get to the place where his glory can be revealed in the earth through us. I don't care how insignificant you think you are not insignificant because God has chosen you to reveal his glory through. Amen? Okay, I'm going to hurry up. I'm going to be done. Yes, ma'am? Miss Lily. There's a couple things, okay, that I believe he wants to do at Lake and Heath LCN, Biggles Way, BPC. By the way, I'm telling you, even at Biggles Way, in the short time that we take responsibility for that place, he's doing the same thing there as he's doing here. Same thing. We have this guy. He just texted me before I started the service. And this guy named Gad. And funny, because Gad is an Israelite tribe. But he was an unsaved guy. We held a barbecue there a couple years ago, and he got saved. Then he disappeared. Over the face of the earth. Don't know where Gad went. Gad just texted me. Just before we started the service, he said, "Pastor," and that's really strange. He called me Pastor. I ain't seen him in over a year. "Pastor, I'm going to be at church tonight. I need to talk to you. I need to have a one-on-one with you. Something has to change. I want God to give me what he needs. I don't want him looking out there anymore for stuff that's not going to change his life, because there's only one person that can change his life, and that's the one who created him in the first place. And everybody's looking for stuff, and that's where the church, we need to be the people who are revealing the glory of the Lord, because we have what they need. Oh, glory be to God. We have exactly what they need. Yes? Okay, here we go. I'm closing. Couple things we need to know. In 2017, in us, he wants to create individuals, something that shows and declare a facet of his glory. Every one of us has an experience. Every one of us has gone through an experience or circumstance that reveals the facet of God that he wants to bring into this place. Every one of us, I don't care what you've been through, that experience you have is vital to the building of what God wants to build in 2017. Yeah, see, and let me tell you something else. Just because you never went through anything, even if you've never went through anything, it is still important. That experience is important. Some people used to say to me all the time, "Vince, I don't have a testimony like you. I haven't been delivered from drugs. I haven't been delivered from this. I haven't been delivered from that." That's good, because that reveals the facet of God who's able to keep what he buys. And we need that. Every experience. Okay. He wants to bring all of those facets together to reveal a picture. Everything that you are. See, I may have been delivered. Let's just say, I have been delivered. You have been kept. Come on, Ben. See, I know you ain't listening to me because you're falling asleep right now. I'm being told off now. I'm in trouble. Here we go. He's been kept and I've been delivered. Mm-hmm. The reason why we have all of these varying experiences is God's trying to show a picture to the community of what he is capable of. He's kept Ben, but he's delivered me. And that everybody else that fits in between, he can minister to. There's some people out there that look and say, "Well, there's no hope for me because I'm stuck out. I'm strung out on drugs. I'm strung out on alcohol. I'm strung out on this." Yeah. But look at Vince. He did that for him so he could do it for you. Yeah. But he doesn't understand me. I'm an intellectual guy. He probably won't want anything to do with me because I've really never been a bad guy or I've never done this. No, that's okay. Because look at Ben. He kept him from all of the stuff that Vince had, the experience. And so he can do the same for each and everybody in between. And everybody fits somewhere in between of those two scenarios. You either been kept or you've been delivered. And God wants to minister to every one of us so that we can be a reflection out there to what God is capable of doing in your life. Go ahead, bro. Are you with me? I don't care what your circumstance is. Isn't it good to know that when we see, and if you see that glory, I mean, we are thankful for what God has done in our life, but how many of you would be a lot more, suppose God showed up here like that fire came down. Whoosh, Right in here, right now. Fire, fire just. That would be a life-changing experience, wouldn't it? Yeah, he can give each and every one of us that life-changing experience if we go after him. How many of you want that life-changing experience? Because he can give it. Let me finish now. I am done. He said that those two people, he gave two names. He said, I'm gathering people, these two people, Bezalel and Aholiab, to make the articles of the sanctuary. The sanctuary is not this. We always think sanctuary, we think about church building. But the sanctuary is this. And those two names are very interesting. Because Bezalel means shadow. God's shadow. To be overshadowed. And Aholiab means the tent of the Father. So what God's talking about is he wants to have an intimacy with you so that he can put something in you that you don't have. And if we're realistic with one another, we don't have a lot of what we see. But yet he wants to give it to us. He says, if you come into my tent and let me overshadow you, you'll leave with something you never had before. And you'll leave with an experience you never had before. All I want you to do is come into my tent, the Father's tent. Oh, that's good. Oh, yeah, because then we can help people, really. I'm not just going to be giving you a loaf of bread. I'm not just going to be giving you a piece of meat or some potato chips or some oatmeal. But I'm going to come and say, silver and gold, I don't have. But what I do have, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness and I thank you for your mercy. And I pray, Father, in the days to come that you would do something phenomenal in our lives. Do a new thing in our lives, Father. In Jesus' name. I just pray, if there's anybody in this place and you've never made a commitment to Jesus, you've never said here yes to Jesus, you've never said, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life. If you've never said that, or if you have, but you know you need to do it again, then I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand wherever you are, and I'm going to pray for you.